This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, bringing you news of the world. From Washington, the Russian bear will roar at Truman. Also, Congress will act in 18 days. From Moscow, the beginnings, perhaps, of a roar. From Manila, we sign up a rampart. From Fort Worth, Texas has telephone trouble. Now, a brief message from Tom Moore.
And here's an idea for you, friends. Keep an extra package of Alka-Seltzer handy where you work, just as you always do at home. You know how an occasional headache or an acid-upset stomach can slow you down, don't you? And with Alka-Seltzer handy, you'll be all set for pleasant, speedy relief. The next time you go to your drugstore, buy two packages of Alka-Seltzer and keep one at home as usual and the other where you work. Remember, an extra package in the shop can help a fella feel tip-top. Now, Morgan Beatty and News of the World.
The diplomats of the Western world are watching the international skies tonight for signs of reaction to the challenge hurled at Moscow by President Truman. The questions in their minds are these two. First, will the Kremlin take an actually aggressive stance? Will the Soviets take practical steps to counter our open support of the Greeks and the Turks, to counter our promise of support elsewhere? Or will the Soviet high command decide instead to unleash a propaganda barrage, possibly topped off with an angry note or two, shouting insult and so on? There is a doubt in many high quarters west of Moscow that the Soviet high command is interested at this time in anything more concerning the United States than shaking its fist and gnashing its teeth. There are two reasons for this kind of thinking. In the first place, President Truman did not propose to invade any territory within the Soviet sphere. He did not say, we're going to support the communist government of Yugoslavia or Albania or Poland as against Russia. Actually, what he asked Congress to do was to bolster two governments already supported by one of the two major Western powers. Generalissimo Stalin himself in 1944 agreed with Winston Churchill to this division in the Near East as between the East and the West. And our own State Department is convinced that Moscow has taken no active steps to break down this balance. It might even be that the Kremlin would be seriously embarrassed at this time to take on more responsibilities. It's no secret around the world that Russia, in its reconversion to peace, is having many more difficulties than are we here in the United States. Large sections of their breadbasket, as well as their industrial plant, were utterly destroyed by war. From the Ukraine have come the latest ominous reports, ominous to the Kremlin. The ace troubleshooter of the Soviet government, Kaganovich, has been sent down there for the frank purpose of bringing productive order out of unproductive chaos. Destruction and drought and poor communist organization in that area have failed to produce the food the Russians need to live. That's why the Western world wonders whether the Kremlin will content itself with words, harsh words, or will actually strike out against this prospective new policy of the United States. If they do strike out, they'll have to invade territory that had already been ceded to a Western power. But just in case the Russians should decide on aggressive tactics, it is significant that the first questions of the Foreign Policy Committee on Capitol Hill here in Washington were answered privately today by the Secretaries of War and the Navy and the Acting Secretary of State. That would be Messrs. Patterson, Forrestal, and Acheson. That group, we might note, was the National Advisory Council for the President in wartime. In a few moments, we'll try to hear from Moscow direct. Perhaps we'll get more light on this subject. By the way, as an aside, you may be interested to know that communication with Moscow, even though uncensored as of now, is still difficult because our Mr. Henry Cassidy reports to us blind. That is, we can't know in advance whether we're going to get him or not. He can talk to us, but we cannot at this time talk to him. He is scheduled, however, to come up at 7:20 p.m. plus 15 seconds. And following him, Richard Harkness will give the congressional reaction to the Truman challenge. The first forthright reply to the Truman plan to aid Greece and Turkey came an hour ago from this side of the Atlantic, from former Secretary of Commerce Henry Wallace, the one discharged by President Truman a few months ago. Mr. Wallace called his address a reply. He said the president's message was, in effect, a proposal for America to police Russia's every border. And then he asked a series of questions. What is this crisis, he asked, that necessitates Truman going to Capitol Hill, as though a Pearl Harbor had suddenly hit us? And, he went on, how many more of these Pearl Harbors will there be? How can they be foreseen? What will they cost the American people? And then he went on to say, how does support given to what he called undemocratic countries of Greece and Turkey, how does that aid the cause of freedom? But now the sweep hand on the clock approaches 7:20 plus 15. It's time for the foreign minister report from Russia. Come in, Henry Cassidy, in Moscow.
Secretary of State Marshall presented to the Council of Foreign Ministers today a calm, carefully prepared resolution calling for a unified law on denazification in all four zones of Germany, to end the mistrust among the Allies on this point, and to ensure fair and equal action in stamping out Nazism. French Foreign Minister Bido agreed, and then British Secretary Bevan and Russian Minister Molotov started throwing verbal brickbats at each other again over the purge in Germany. Each one named a few obscure Nazi characters alleged to be holding positions of some importance in the other zone. Finally, both of them accepted the United States resolution in principle. Tomorrow, Secretary Marshall will present three more documents on democracy for Germany, liquidation of war factories, and release of German prisoners. But tonight, in the Moskva Hotel, some of the delegates are becoming irritated. They say that Secretary Marshall and Foreign Minister Bido are trying to get down to principles, but if the Bevan-Molotov quarrel continues, the conference will drag on for weeks. The Russian people will hear tomorrow morning about President Truman's message asking help for Greece and Turkey against totalitarian aggression. The Soviet news agency TASS has just released its account, factual on the whole, but saying the message is openly directed against democratic elements in Greece and the help would be accompanied by American control over Greece. So far, the message has not affected the conference. This is Henry Cassidy in Moscow.
And now, Richard Harkness, will you report events in the train behind Mr. Truman's plan to support Greece and Turkey?
Congress came to realize today the full impact of President Truman's counteroffensive against communism. The House Appropriations Committee canceled a $25 million shipment of oil equipment to Russia under lend-lease. The Senate Armed Services Committee voted, because of the critical world situation, to leave all selective service records in a handy position with local draft boards. A bill was introduced in the House to take atomic energy development away from a civilian board and give it back to the military. Now, this is not congressional hysteria. Members say it is, rather, a series of steps in keeping with the implications of what Mr. Truman proposed to Capitol Hill yesterday. The expectation in Washington this evening is that Congress will approve our backing up Greece and Turkey with American dollars and American military advice. But since the program is drawing criticism, if President Truman wins this appropriation, it will be through a Republican-Democratic coalition of all-out internationalists against old-time, old-line isolationists. So, with this narrow margin, the bill will be offered first in the more doubtful House of Representatives. Once and if through the House, the program will get the green light then in the Senate. Senator Taft, the chairman of the Republican Steering Committee, is ordering daily sessions of the Senate. This is to clear the calendar of all other measures and open the way for our worldwide stand against communism by the March 31st deadline. This is Richard Harkness in Washington.
There are also ramparts to watch on the other side of the world. We reported recently that the United States was about to sign a treaty with the Philippines. Well, the decision's in focus. For the report, here's Bert Silen in Manila.
8 hours from now, that will be 4 o'clock this afternoon, March 14th, Manila time, the military bases agreement between the United States and the Philippine Republic will be signed here. The agreement concedes to the United States 23 out of the original 70 bases asked for. There will be 16 large permanent bases and 7 so-called emergency bases. Included in the permanent group are Clark Field, Tawi Tawi, and 2 fields on Palawan Island for the Air Corps. Camp Stotzenberg north of Manila and Camp John Hay in Baguio are two of the main Army sites, while the Navy will retain Subic Bay, Maravales in Bataan, Sangley Point, located near the entrance to Manila Bay, and Guinean, off the island of Samar. All bases have been conceded for 99 years. Many of the famous military sites of the last war, however, are to be turned back to the Philippine Republic. These include the Air Corps Nichols Field in Manila, Old Fort William McKinley, the naval base at Olongapo, and sadly enough, that old and revered landmark, the fortress island of Corregidor. The signing of this agreement will be the last official act of Ambassador Paul D. McNutt, who leaves tomorrow for Washington, where he will hand his resignation to President Truman. This is Bert Sylan in Manila.
Another state is now heard from on the strike front. For the story, here's Larry DuPont, station WBAP, Fort Worth, Texas.
If some little gadget on the Texas end of this circuit were to suddenly curl up its insulation and call it a day right now, there'd be a lot of dead air between me and you. That's because down here in Texas, we're caught in a dispute between the Southwestern Bell Telephone Company and its employees. And a rash of continuous union meetings has transformed most telephone exchanges into lonely mausoleums. To find the cause of this crippling condition, you've got to apply the formula used in solving all mysteries. You cherchez la femme. And the woman in this case is a 34-year-old night chief operator at Odessa in West Texas, whom the union claims doesn't know her business, has shoved and abused the operators working under her, and didn't distribute Christmas candy in a fair and impartial manner. The union demanded her demotion. The company said, no, this is a management problem. And so it started. Like a wall of fire swept across the prairie before a stiff March wind, the dispute spread until tonight there are more than 10,000 operators and repairmen holding union meetings. Meanwhile, conciliators in St. Louis are trying to get both sides to kiss and make up, and Governor Jester has just appointed a committee to investigate and make recommendations. And the company has already signified its willingness to abide by its decisions. At the Fort Worth Union headquarters today, we found the meeting crowded with good-natured employees, talking, reading, playing dominoes, and just sitting. Union officials told us that operators in Oklahoma and Kansas are pretty mad about the conditions in Odessa, too, and may start some meetings of their own. This is Larry DuPont, and that's what's happening in Fort Worth today.
Morgan Beatty will return with some more late news. Here is a statement of fact, and every word has been approved by a staff of doctors. Among the food elements everyone must have for good health are vitamins. Yes, just as your body needs proteins, fats, minerals, carbohydrates, so does it need vitamins. Without enough vitamins in your diet, you feel dull and run down, nervous and irritable. So follow the lead of thousands of others and prevent a vitamin deficiency. Take a single, one-a-day brand, multiple vitamin capsule every day. In one small capsule, you get 8 different vitamins. And remember, one capsule every day is all you take. And there's no time like the present to start our one-a-day brand home vitamin test. Now, here's what you do. Get that 60-capsule package of one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules from your druggist. That's a full 60-day supply for only $2, only about a dollar a month. Take one capsule every day for 60 days. Then, if you're not satisfied, if you don't believe that taking one-a-day brand multiple vitamins has been a good thing for you, return the empty package to your druggist and he'll refund your money. In other words, if you don't believe these supplementary vitamins have been a good thing for you to take, we don't want you to take them or pay for them. But if you do feel you should have them, you'll surely want to take them every day. For taking them every day is the way they'll do you the most good. Get the genuine one-a-day brand, multiple vitamin capsules, and try this home vitamin test. Remember, you're money back if you're not satisfied. Now, here again is Morgan Beatty.
And here are signs of our times. Washington, the Army proposed tonight that all future promotions of officers be placed on a selective rather than an automatic basis to increase efficiency. And the Navy has suggested to Congress a new plan to create younger admirals at the average age of 53 and a speed up of promotions all along the line. New York, Life magazine is publishing a statement tonight from Senator Arthur Vandenberg. It says, I'm not a candidate, do not expect to or wish to be a candidate. Of course, he said, I would yield to a spontaneous draft because I do not believe any citizen has a right to deny service to his country. So once again, we have the question, when is a candidate? And that's the news of the world. This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, saying goodbye from Washington.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.